It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Going, you know what that means? It means that we've got no Joe today. It's me and Bob Pompiani. I'm Paul Zeisen. Of course, we always get you started when I'm running the show with a little soul food, right? A little earth, wind, and fire. Always good for the soul.
Lasts the test of time, that soul food. It really does. I love earth, wind, and fire.
It's one of those things that if you really think about it, they started touring in 1972, Bob. 52 years on the road. How about that?
Yeah, and they're still going.
That's a hell of a run.
They still have little venues they play or whatever. They were at Celebrity Care Fest. They've been around at different places, and people love the music, you know. And like I said, it lasts the test of time. It does.
There's no question about it. I mean, they've been rolling for 52 years, and of course, on a Monday, we all like to get started the right way. So a little earth, wind, and fire. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing good. Beautiful day. Wish we were golfing, but that's another story for another day.
Well, absolutely. It is a beautiful.
How's the Paul's Zeiss.com tour coming, by the way?
It's good. Yesterday, I was supposed to play yesterday. I got really sick in the morning, so I couldn't play. I was actually stuck in bed for a while. So Paul Alexander had to take it for me yesterday.
So tell me more about it. Is it like regular members?
No, we just play. There's a group of us that play Saturday morning. You know, we go to Cedarbrook Saturday mornings. We usually play the gold. Sunday we'll play the red or vice versa at Cedarbrook. You know, it's a great course. And, you know, it's usually Paul Alexander's a regular. My buddy Barry's usually a regular. My buddy Doug and Tim and other people, you know, I've had other people reach out and say that they want to play with us, but you know what? In order to play with us, you have to be willing to get up at 6 in the morning because...
that's not going to be me.
We tee off at 6:15. We're the first ones off the tee.
There's a lot to be said for that because you get done at a time when you have the whole day in front of you.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole point about it. I mean, you know, the last time we did it, we were done by 9:30. Able to have a few cocktails by 10:15, 10:30.
But is your body ready to handle 6:15 tee time? See, to me, I have to go through a regimen of stretching, hitting balls. Can you do all that at 6:15?
Well, I mean, if you want to get out there that early. But I'm always the guy that goes, you know, straight to the course.
And I don't, three deep knee bends, pull out a club and hit it.
I don't have time. You know, a lot of people, they play golf. They make it a religious experience. But I don't have time to, like, go, hit balls, putt, you know, all that other stuff. I just show up and really grip it and rip it.
There you go.
And see what happens.
That's the best way to do it. And forget about the last shot, whatever it may be.
Exactly.
Just move on.
Just move on and have a good time. And you know what? Because I don't go to the range and all that other stuff, I don't feel guilty about taking a breakfast ball.
No, you shouldn't anyway.
Off the first tee.
I mean, on local golfers, amateur golfers, you have to have that.
Right, you know? Right. But it's funny, you know, there's some people, you know, like I had a buddy.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you putt them all out? Because that becomes a little bit of a controversial item. If you're in a group and somebody says it's good,
yeah,
but somebody else may say, wait a minute, let him putt it. You know, if you're playing for money, I'm talking
right,
about.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah. It all depends. I mean, if you're out of the hole.
Well, that's different. I'm talking about if
there's a birdie putt or a par putt, you have to putt it.
Okay.
If it's for more than that, and you know what? Let's go. It's good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know what? You got to keep the pace of play going, especially right. if you're the people out front at 6:15.
Right. That's what we try and do. And so it's good. I mean, we have a good time with it, and we always have fun. And of course, you know, there's always a little bit of money. We have a bunch of games that we have going. You know, mm-hmm. So. It's one of those things where we try to play at a good pace, you know. But the thing about it is, people think if you're playing at a good pace, that means that, you know, you're not taking your time and guys aren't. I mean, Paul Alexander shoots in the 70s regularly, playing at the pace we play.
I've seen that.
You know, and we've other guys that shoot low 80s. I mean, you can play at a good pace, and you know what I mean, and still. Take your time on your shots.
Yeah, you just don't need 16 practice swings.
It's the practice swings. It's all the stuff. I don't understand. Like a couple weeks ago, I played at like 10:30 in the morning, and you know I don't understand what guys are doing on the greens for as long as they're on the greens.
Yeah.
And the other part of it is, you know what? If I hit one left and you hit one right, drop me off at my ball. You go to your ball so that when I hit, you're ready to hit, and we meet somewhere in the middle.
Yep.
But it's amazing.
There are little things that make a big difference when it comes to pace of play.
And I think, honestly, pace of play is important, Bob.
No, there's no question. There are some clubs that now require you to go 4 hours.
Right.
And if you don't, they'll come and remove you from the golf course. You know, the ranger will come out and say, that's enough. You guys got to abide by this.
Right.
Because, and if you start getting that in the heads of people, that's okay. Then they'll adapt.
Right. I think most people can play at a pace. That's the big thing. It's just a matter of do they want to or not.
Yeah.
You know? So I just feel like sometimes, you know, it just gets ridiculous when you're – I just don't have five and a half hours to stay on a course. As much as I like the golf, I just don't want to be on a course that long ever.
Especially on a day like today. It's a little bit too hot out there, especially if you play later in the day.
Right. That's true. That is so true. When it's hot out, you know what I mean? I mean, you just when it's hot out, you just don't want to,
you can gauge the humidity and the temperature by judging the amount of water or whatever you're drinking, and never have to go bathroom. You know,
right.
Never. It's just you need it.
Right. I mean, I just feel like that's the biggest thing. Like to me, pace of play is important. That's what I'll tell you one thing that I do like about Cedar Brook. There's a lot I like about Cedar Brook, but one of the things I like the most is I've played during the day. People there play at a reasonable, for a public course, they play at a reasonably good pace. I mean, you know, you go to some private courses and they're supposed to play at a pace. And I've had long rounds on private courses too, you know, so you just try and navigate it as best as you can do it.
Well, listen, there's going to be plenty of golf time available once all these seasons are over. And I'm wondering now about the Pirate season. I thought it might extend into a little bit into October, but I'm having my questions and doubts about it now after another situation which kind of mirrored the entire season yesterday, Paul, right?
Yeah,
I mean, they get a great start, and they don't win a game, and they take a lead into the ninth, and they don't win a game.
Well, I thought, and I hate saying it like this, but yesterday kind of felt like the game that sort of, now I just don't. I don't know that they're going to, you know, make even like late August and September all that interesting. You know, you have Jared Jones hurt for, you know, he's probably shut down for a month. Falter's hurt. You know, you're going to have to piece together your rotation here for the next, you know, 20 days or so. And then you're now 5 games under 500. You're going on the road. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, listen, if you look at their schedule, they got after this series, today's the final game of the Mets. It won't be easy. They've already, you know, at best, they're going to split that series. Then they go to Milwaukee, which will not be easy for them. Then the White Sox. And the White Sox, you may say, are a bad team. They're looking to dump players. But the one thing they remind me of the Oakland A's when the, you know, Pirates went out there earlier this year and lost 2 of 3. And they're a team that's perfectly capable. They have some good young pitching on that team. We'll see. But after the break is where it really ramps up, Paul, because right. you have the Phillies. Then you have St. Louis, both home series, but those are two really good teams. After that, it's L.A., San Diego, those teams, Arizona. It's not going to be easy. And the further you fall behind, the harder it will be to overcome it, which makes you wonder what they'll do at the trade deadline, if anything.
Right. I mean, I think that's probably, would you say, not much of anything now.
Or selling.
I mean, here's the thing. I actually think they were going to probably move a couple of guys anyway. You know, those expiring contracts, that's sort of what they do. But now...
Yeah, but if they wanted to move Chapman, what happened yesterday and throughout this season is not going to make many people interested.
No. I mean, that's part of the problem is that when they signed him, I think, with the idea that at $10.5 million, he was going to have a real team-friendly kind of contract that they could move at the trade deadline. You know, and the hope, obviously, was... Bednar and, you know, Holderman and all these guys were ready that they wouldn't need Chapman the rest of the way. But Chapman hasn't really helped his value by the way he's pitched. And I thought yesterday, you know, one of the things that's happened with him that's really kind of frustrating is he's just so wild. He just throws way too many balls. And it's like, listen, when you got stuff like you have, you should throw a lot more pitches in the zone. That's the way I look at it. I mean,
and he had guys down 0-2 and 1-2.
Right.
And so those guys walked, and it's the stat that just jumps out at me, Paul, because I haven't seen many from relievers like this. 32 innings pitched, 32 walks, 20 runs. That's just – you can't do that in right. that role, especially with Bednar out.
Right. That's the biggest thing. I think it's a frustrating thing, but that's the biggest thing to me is just you have a guy who has really good stuff who could be – you know, a lockdown, shutdown kind of guy, but he can't throw strikes right now. You know, that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah. And Andrew just texted me. He's right. I forgot they actually got swept by the A's. I thought it was 2 out of 3, but it's whatever. The point is the White Sox appear to be easy, and they may not be easy just because of some of the young talent that they have. So, you know, the bottom line there is if you don't win these series at home, like I remember the start of this series. You were in here with Joe. We were talking about 13 games, right? It was at Atlanta, then it was St. Louis, then it was New York, and then Milwaukee.
Right.
We were talking about how many wins you'd need in those 13 games. Well, so far, the record is 3-6 out of 9. So I thought if they can go somehow 7-6 at worst, you know, 9-4, hopefully,
right.
they would be in a good set. But so far it's 3-6, pending today and 3 with the Brewers.
This was supposed to be moving week, and I think that's the problem, Bob. It's like this was supposed to be the week where they made a move, where they had an opportunity to try and make a move, and they didn't because they lost games that were winnable. That's the big thing. The games were winnable. They were right there.
Yeah, and yesterday was a prime example. If you had a microcosm of the way this season has gone, yesterday is the day. Because they couldn't score, but yet Luis Ortiz gave them a quality start. They take the lead, and then they blow the lead. And again, after 14 runs on Friday, it's 2 on Saturday and 2 on Sunday, and therein lies your problem. It's inconsistent hitting, given 1 or 2, you know, offensive outburst kind of games. They don't have a lot of people coming through in big situations. The offseason was filled with guys who, you know, look like veteran names, could maybe help, but they haven't delivered much. Michael A. Taylor, Grandal, you know, you look at all the people they've brought in. They haven't done much. And then those who are still here are struggling, like Hayes and Sawinski and Henry Davis. So you roll that all together and you get what you got yesterday.
Right. And again, you played two teams that were ahead of you. There we go. There we go. We like that.
Is this a Paul Skeens thing?
Look at this.
Michael Spack comes in here with a Paul Skeen mustache.
Look at that shirt.
You're going to grow one?
Wait, does that fit you? Does that size fit?
Oh, what are you insulting me now? Okay, what is it?
Come on.
What size is this?
XL.
Okay, then, yes, it better fit, or else I'm not fit. Thanks, Mike.
Well, yeah, there you have it, the Paul Skeen shirt. So,
how about him?
Absolutely. Well, real quick, though, you're in a situation where – you have to take advantage of being at home with 7 games against 2 teams ahead of you. You know, And they just didn't do it.
Mm-mm.
And so, I mean, I'm not trying to be fatalistic and say the season's over, but it's going to be a tough one, I think.
Yeah, again, with the injuries factored in, the fact that they still, I don't know, you're going to tell me who besides Brian Reynolds is going to be able to uplift their current batting production,
right,
and carry them. I don't know if I have an answer for you. It should be people like O'Neal Cruz, who's shown enough, you know, he's got the raw talent, but doing it on a regular basis is important. He hasn't really done that. Can it be Brian Hayes? I haven't seen evidence of it other than a couple of months last year. That was it. What are you getting out of your catching position offensively? Nothing, really.
Right.
Tellez, okay. He came on a little bit. Give him credit for that. Can he continue? Not sure. He can very well go back to what it was. You know, and I agree with you. You don't want to be to the point where you're saying, well, it's completely over, and then they put together a run. We haven't seen evidence they could put together a run. It's going to take winning six in a row, seven in a row, something like that.
Right. That, well, and not just that, they're going to have what's tough about this kind of, this time of year is that teams start to kind of round into form.
Oh, yeah. And there's separation.
Right. That's right? What I mean. Some of these teams are going to start finding their form a little bit. And so when you fall behind, you know, a couple of teams, now you need those teams to fall back a little bit, you know? And I don't think the Braves are coming back. I really don't. I think they're going to be in the wild card.
No, if anything, they're going to get better.
Yeah, they'll
get
better.
They got Austin Riley back. He's swinging a hot bat. They got guys like Olsen, and those guys never leave the lineup unless it's an injury, like Acuna. Harris was out with a little bit, but they have guys who step in too. So,
I mean, really, if you look at it, you know, the Diamondbacks, Mets, Giants, Reds, Nationals, and now the Cubs are all bunched up within three games of each other. You're not going to get all of those teams to play. You know, I mean, some of them are going to play well.
And maybe it could be the Pirates.
Yeah,
but
maybe.
Again, they're going to have to show it and do it on a very consistent basis.
Right.
So, well, you know, I'm not sure it's going to happen.
That's the biggest problem that that you have right now if you're them. You're in a situation now where you're going to have everything go right for you. And if you remember, you know, the Penguins at the end of their, like, the last month and a half, right? They had an opportunity because everyone in front of them was losing.
They did.
But eventually, yeah, the Capitals and one other team figured it out and won enough games that, you know, if you fall behind, it's hard. Sooner or later, the other teams that you are going to be battling, I got to be honest with you, some of them are going to figure it out. So unless you can – the Pirates are in a place now where if they can't put together like one of these runs where they go 10 out of 12 or something, it's going to be really hard for them to make up ground.
I agree.
You know.
And that's the thing. Have we seen evidence they can do that? No. I don't know what the longest win streak of their season is. City Limits back there. What is it? Is it five games?
Five games.
And it was the first five games of the season.
Right.
All right. Well, that's why it's so vague in my memory then. It happened against two teams they really should have taken advantage of, and they did. So five games, and that's it. They haven't. Since then, probably three in a row is the longest, I would imagine.
And they haven't. They have not won three in a row since May 5th, 6th, and 7th, or May 4th, 5th, and 6th, something like that. They have not won three in a row since then. And so, to me, like I said, you when you had Jones and Skeens and Keller and Falter, I mean, you had an opportunity four nights in a row to send, you know, and then if Martin Perez gives you, which he did give you a really good start, I mean,
another one wasted.
Yeah, you got to be able to win some of those games, and they just keep losing. That's the problem.
Yeah, I think they've blown 16 saves or leads late in the game, and they also, again, with all these six inning quality starts, so called quality starts, you've got to put up a better number than they've put up, and that's going to make it very interesting. I listened to Ben Cherington yesterday. I did not get the feeling that he was in any rush to make any kind of deal. So, you know, the internal options aren't many.
Right.
And, you know, you can look at, again, Hayes and whoever else you want to put up, Sawinski, you name them. They got to do better. If they don't, then the internal options don't really exist from an offensive point of view.
Right. There's no question about it. So, I mean, I think that's the thing. That's the thing that they have to figure out quickly is that what can they possibly do to be able to go out and what can they possibly do to be able to go out and either add offense or get some guys hitting? Or, you know, yesterday what's frustrating is you, as bad as you played offensively, you had a lead with three outs to get.
One pitch to get.
That's
it. They were one pitch away from winning that game.
Right.
And again, it didn't that, you know, when you're Chapman in that situation with the overpowering stuff that he has, just get it over the plate somehow.
Right.
And take your chances.
Right.
Walking people, and you're giving them an opportunity that the Mets really, I don't think, deserved.
Right. There's no question about it. I think that's where we're at. So, you know, to me, it's a frustrating week because this was supposed to be moving week, and they didn't move at all. In fact, they probably went backwards a little bit. You know, now you're 5-under. I mean, you got a lot of ground to make up.
Well, it starts today. They have to win this game today. They have to go Milwaukee, win 2 out of 3, and then sweep the White Sox the way I see it. That should at least give them an opportunity to move up a little bit in this wild card chase. So what I'm saying is they got to look, you know, of these remaining 7 games, they got to go 6-1. Can they go 6-1?
I mean, they got to play in Milwaukee, don't they?
Yes.
There's 3 games in Milwaukee. You know, good luck there. They never play well there. You know, 6-1, probably not. Let's see what else they got. I think they have the White Sox. Hopefully you can handle 3 against, you know. But even then, you kind of feel.
But look after the All-Star break.
Yeah.
That is going to be
right.
The brick wall they're going to run into.
Right. The White Sox.
Phillies, St. Louis, both at home. Phillies are as good as any team in baseball, they've been consistent.
Yeah, of the 7 games, they've got Keller going twice, and Skeens going once, and Perez going twice. So you figure Ortiz will take one of those other games, and then who? Quinn Priester or somebody? Who are they going to bring up? Or who
Ortiz should be in the rotation now.
Ortiz will probably.
ZRA got down to 295. There's no reason after yesterday to do anything but start him.
He pitched yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
So 1, 2, 3. So you figure Friday it'll be Ortiz, which means Thursday you got to get like Quinn Priester or somebody like that, right?
I suppose.
I mean, I
don't know who else you bring up. There are guys, you know, Bubba Chandler's in AA. He's doing very well, but he's not ready. They're not going to do that anyway.
They're not going to bring him up.
So is there someone down there? I don't know. I mean, they've gone through a lot of people in the bullpen here for sure.
Right, but if you're going to use Ortiz on Thursday, it's going to be hard to do a bullpen game.
I still think I would never have gotten rid of Contreras so quickly. He's too young, and he was acquired in a trade that they expected big things from him. Sure, he was through a bad stretch. Sure, he wasn't looking good, but just – work with him a little bit,
yeah.
You know, instead of just giving him away. And at last I looked at Anaheim, he's doing a pretty good job with them.
Well, like I said, that's the question now. Is since you're going to have to use Ortiz as a starter, is Marco Gonzalez ready to come back?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, you could use
Ryan Borecki is somewhere close. I think I'm not sure.
Right, that's what I mean.
Like, for the bullpen, but he's not going to start.
You need a starter because, again, you're going to have to use Ortiz as a starter, which means the bullpen game thing probably isn't going to work. You know, I guess you could go Muljinski. I mean, I don't know that you got anybody else really, you know. You could bring up Priester, but if Gonzalez is ready, okay, so you have Marco Gonzalez going one of those days and Ortiz going the other. You know,
you can always bring in Trevor Bauer. There's a lot of calls for him. We talked about it last night on our number one Cochran Sports Showdown show. I'm sure you guys kicked it around. You know, but I thought if that were the case, they could have done it at the beginning of the season. But no takers on him, and yet he's a former Cy Young winner,
and
all of his problems seem to be in his background.
Yeah.
Seem to be over. Why not take a shot, especially now?
Especially if you're the Pirates and you're really kind of desperate.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is if you brought him in and he pitched well, you could trade Perez and really not hurt yourself. And Perez is making, what, $8 million or something like that, I think?
Yeah.
Something like that. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you could free up some money, not necessarily change, you know, the trajectory of the, you know, yeah, $8 million. Save a little $4 million. But I think what's frustrating to me, they're just not proactive when it comes to stuff like that.
No, they're reactive.
Yes.
And when you're reactive, you normally don't get what you need. Sometimes, you know, you got to do something that you're not accustomed to doing. Maybe you're not comfortable doing. But you have to send messages to both your fan base and I think your team that, hey, we still believe it. Now, maybe he doesn't. Maybe Ben Cherington down deep thinks there's still a little bit of time away. Maybe he does. And if that's the case, he's not going to give up on people he foresees here in the future. Then you're going to be judged on those people when they get up here, and they better make a difference.
Right, right. Well, either way, you have to be proactive if you're the Pirates, and they just weren't. They've been sort of kicking the can down the road to the point now where it's you got two pitchers hurt, you've fallen kind of out. Mm-hmm. I mean, the biggest thing here is they've got to figure out a way to salvage today against the Mets, and then you go to Milwaukee where you haven't had a lot of success.
So they have Keller on the mound. Do you think he got a snub in this all-star selection, or do you think Paul Skenes actually took a spot that could have been his if not for Skenes?
I actually think, to be honest, if it wasn't for Paul Skenes, Keller would be in the game. But they probably weren't going to give two Pirates pitches.
Well, especially for a team that's where they are in
that's
the standings,
I mean.
And that would be three. Now, if I think Keller is deserving.
On another year,
he would have been the Pirates' representative, but Skenes is such a phenomenon that they can't afford not to have him on that.
Well,
as a showcase of your game and young studs coming up,
right.
he's very important to them.
Right. I mean, I think that is really what it, in my mind, what we're looking at here is, the thing about Keller, I will say, he's 35th in ERA. So even though he has a lot of wins, it's not like it was like the greatest snub ever. He's 35th in ERA.
What is his ERA, though? It's pretty impressive. It's under four, I know. It's 3.48.
And here's the other thing about Keller. Unless I'm looking at this chart wrong here. Yeah, he's 53rd in whip. So, yeah, I would have liked to see him in the game, but I don't necessarily know that it was a huge snub. I mean, his ERA is 3.35, essentially, 3.48.
In today's baseball, that's pretty good for a guy who has as many starts as
he has.
But
if you look...
and there are too many young pitchers who have better stuff right
now. If you look at the top 14 guys in ERA, they're all under three.
Right.
It'd be a hard case to make for Mitch Keller.
If Skenes wasn't around, however, I think he would have gotten it just because.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe, because of his wins. The wins, I know that there are a lot of people who don't think wins in baseball... pitching wins are that significant. I don't think they're insignificant. I think it shows that you go deep into games at least, and that you know what I mean? And that you give your team a chance to win.
Right. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we are, and we're back. And, of course, we've got Bob Pompiani. Bob, what is this over here? The John Deere Classic.
The John Deere Classic. It was good. Davis Thompson won.
Do you want to
set a tournament record.
Do you want to see guys that are...
You don't know about Michael Thorbjornsson?
No,
he's a very good... He was at the Ligonier at Laurel Valley when they played that... international match.
Is it a good thing, though?
The only difference is you don't know who these guys are. If you watch them for quality golf,
is this a PGA event?
Yeah, and so it's been an established one for years.
My point is, you've got guys shooting 20 under, 25,
28 under, set a record.
28 under.
Well, that's how you get to know who they are.
Would you rather see that, or would you rather see 5 under win?
Oh, you're talking about the actual course, like I mean. On events like this, you're always going to get that. By the way, I've been there. That is not an easy golf course. They make it look very easy.
Yeah.
But look at this shot here, Paul. For those of you not watching, I'll describe it. It's a par 3, 167 yards. Bunkers everywhere. Left is water. Right is no good. you got to hit it perfect. And so look at those two shots.
Right.
Right over the flag stick. If you could play like that, you're going to score no matter what the conditions and no matter how difficult the course is. Now, right. With that in mind, next year, Oakmont is going to host the 2025 U.S. Open.
Right.
And that course is designed not to, to relinquish so many birdies. So I'm going to be wondering what the scores may be there.
That's the biggest thing is.
Because normally U.S. Open, if you get to be 5-under, you're doing pretty well for the entire tournament. That's, there have been times when plus 5 is one.
Right.
So would you rather see people struggle or would you rather see legitimate birdie opportunities?
I would rather see them play well, you know what I mean? But when I don't want to see them, knocking the ball over the course and shooting like 5 over, but I don't want to see them shooting 27, 28 under either because it's just that feels like a completely different game, And there's the problem they have is the equipment. Technology and everything else has made it so these guys just destroy most of these courses. Well,
they're young and they get the proper, you got to have the proper teaching,
right?
Assets. And there's a kid here who finished tied for second, Paul. His name is Luke Clanton. He goes to Florida State University, your Seminoles.
Okay. Okay.
And he was at 24 under par. He's an amateur. He's 20 years old. He just unbelievable shot making, unbelievable swing.
Yeah.
So. I mean, the only thing, they're like robots. That's the only thing about them. I would love to see some personalities come out of this. They need personalities. I'll say that even about the live guys. You still need the personality driven and a little bit of the competition and maybe a rivalry, whatever.
That's the thing. Almost all of the personality went to the live.
Right.
If you think about it. I mean, that's why, these guys. But the other part of it is that with the nutrition and workout regimes and all the other stuff that, has just completely.
Well, Tiger Woods made that. Right. The fact that he was as jacked as he was and as hardworking as he was, it set an example and a standard.
I love those videos of like these guys playing in the U.S. Open and or the Masters or whatever in like the 70s and 80s, and they all look like, out of shape, smoking cigarettes, whatever, These guys are all, like, you can tell, they all work out, they all take care of their bodies, they all...
Well, how do you think they... You mentioned hitting a ball as far as they do, 340 off the tee. That has nothing to do with anything but flexibility,
right?
Core strength, all of that.
Right.
So, back when you described those guys, the Jack Nicklaus era, they weren't hitting a ball 340.
That's why it's so impressive when you watch John Daly hit the ball. he's just a freak of nature.
He was just in town at a Pleasant Valley Golf Club for Hearts of the Lion event. I emcee that every year. And you should see, he doesn't need any practice time. He has a cigarette in his mouth, a beer in his hand, lays the beer down, hits the ball, boom, 310, 20 off the tee. Now, he's playing in the British Open next, or the Open Championship.
He's one of those guys, too, where if he maybe took things a little more serious...
In his prime, he
could have been really, really something. But then by the same token, it might have taken some of the charm of him away.
Yeah, but personalities like that are good, I think,
right,
for the game.
Absolutely. You know? That's what I'm saying. But my point is, if he had like become more serious person and everything else and, didn't have some of the things that, sort of make him interesting.
Yeah. It's always good to have personality in your field. And right now, I don't know that there are many characters.
A lot of these guys aren't
that
interesting to me. They just aren't. Even Scottie Scheffler is really not that interesting.
Well, I mean, he's a different personality.
Yeah.
But if you're watching just to watch good golf, you wouldn't be displeased with this product.
No. I mean, obviously, they're really, really good. And they hit shots that most of us only would dream of hitting. But then when you do hit a shot that's really good, it makes you feel good. But then you realize what these guys do, that's every shot they hit just about.
Well, they have a shot for every occasion, which we don't.
No.
We know, if they have to pinch it, if they have to, do one of those high cut shots, whatever, they can do it. We can't.
If I get one or two good shots in a round, I'm happy. Like really good shots.
Nah, you wouldn't be happy. Come on.
Well, I mean,
one or two. How about one or two birdies?
I'm talking about you hit. You hit a lot of reasonably good shots, but I'm talking about if you have like one or two dimes, that look like you really know what you're doing. That's all. I mean, that's all. I know. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things where if you play a hole the right way, you feel good.
No question.
And then if you blow up, you don't feel so good.
And you got to forget about it quickly. A lot of people can't do that.
No.
A lot of people bring it with them to the next hole, try to make it up quickly. You just can't do that.
Right. I mean, that's just it. I mean, I always say the difference between like shooting 100 and shooting like low 90s is you don't have the blow up holes.
Mm-hmm.
And then the difference between shooting low 90s and high 80s is you take some of those sixes and turn them into fives, you know. But it's, I think, a lot easier to get from 110 to, say, 95 than to get from 95 to 80.
Oh, how about 95 to 90?
Yeah.
How about 80 to 78?
Yeah.
You don't think that's a big jump, but it represents
two putts. It is. As you go lower like that, lower and lower. Because at the end of the day, to go from 80 to 78, you almost have no margin for error.
Zero. And you have to make good on it. You can't three-putt, you can't do anything.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, that's the beauty of it. But when you watch these guys play, man, they're just so good at everything they do. It's incredible to me. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep. Dodge Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Also, listen to Starkey's. The Starkey Show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from Baseball Card Castle. Cranberry Contest run every Wednesday through Friday, 12 p.m. 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Bob, are you a fan of Pat Benatar?
Oh, I love Pat Benatar.
Yeah? Yes. How about Smokey Robinson?
Love Smokey.
Yes. Well, HM3 Partners Independence Fund presents Celebrity Care Fest.
Always a great time.
Yes. Benefiting UPMC Children's Hospital Foundation. Two nights of star-studded entertainment, July 26th and 27th. Pat Benatar, Neil Girardo, Smokey Robinson, and a superstar artist so big we can't say it here. How about that?
It's a big name, too.
Learn who at hm3.org. Tickets on sale at hm3.org. And of course, let's see, fan weather. It's Chevy summer. Drive at Sun Chevrolet up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. High of 91. Today was sunny skies. Well, we were talking about golf there. We didn't actually get to Paul Skeens, but in the All-Star game in general, we'll talk about Skeens, I guess, after the top here. But Brian Reynolds. Brian Reynolds made.
And he deserved it.
He definitely deserved. I mean, you know, certainly in June, he was maybe the best hitter in the National League in June. He had that, what was it, a 25, 26 game hitting streak, whatever it was.
25 games, and he's been as consistent as anyone in baseball.
Right. The question with him is, can he continue to do that? Because that's the other part of when we talk about the discussion of, you know, them winning or losing or getting, you know, on a winning streak or whatever. I mean, people talk about, well, you know, this guy's got to get better and that guy's going to get better, but is somebody like Ryan Reynolds likely to regress a little bit?
Well, probably, and that's why other people have got to step up. And while I would expect him to, by the end of the year, have the kind of numbers you would expect from him, he goes about it in a way that's very streaky. And when it's very, you know, you're not going to get, you know, him to carry you every single night, and until someone else steps up and helps him. I think that's what's impressive about Brian Reynolds. He's doing this even though he is probably the most potent guy in this lineup, and people know not to pitch to him, to avoid him at times, given what this lineup looks like. So, I mean, they need help. They did not have a good offseason. Ben Cherington could have done more. He didn't, and now they're paying the price for it.
Yeah. Well, again, we've talked about it for the last month, that it felt like they needed to go do something. And so, anyway, we want you back after this break to talk more Pittsburgh sports. Heart disease kills one person every 33 seconds. Schedule your heart screening at UPMC today. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.